It's been a great pleasure for Kelly and I to be in this nation. It's 4 years ago, I think, since we were last here, just because of things that happened back home. We just couldn't travel, so, but God is faithful. And generally, we make a plan, and then God follows. Seek first the kingdom, the stuff follows. And so we've always lived that way. So we plan Mozambique trips, we plan Namibia trips, we plan America, Canada trips, which is far-reaching, and we go because he said so. And do we have the bank balance? No. But we go because he said so. And so we're not superheroes. We just love God. And just thank you for that appeal in the middle of worship. I was thinking this could go on a ways. It could carry on or take a nosedive, you know. But just appreciate that, because I don't think I've ever heard that before. And really, it's thank you if you do. And we really appreciate it. And thank you, church, represented here through the elders for giving to us when you do. So we're not here for that. We're here so that we can see Liverpool changed.
Amen.
And the city that you're in, where you come from, those who are from outside. So we appreciate that. And I know I'm talking to a city celebration, so it's not just the local church. It's outside that. It's to those of you who've come in from elsewhere. Appreciate and respect that. So I want to honor you in giving your word tonight, which I think is one that I love giving, because it absolutely sets up everyone to be able to share the Word of God and to receive the Word of God and to receive what the Word of God has in your life. So if I can say this, you're going to hear the Word of God tonight and you will be healed in your seats when you get it. So we're not going to wait for a prayer line. You can get it right in your seats. And we've seen that happen. A guy standing up, shouting and moving his shoulder around the... Yeah, that's another one. So this was South Africa. I was thinking, he goes, hey, my shoulder's healed. Yes. So I said, yeah, that's the word of God. Carry on. Another guy in Poland, Kelly's referring to that, in a church in Radzyn Polenski. He comes in, brought by his daughter, visitor to the church, dressed up to the T's, I mean, almost a bowler hat type thing. He walks in with a walking stick and he's limping, comes and he sits down. And I preach a message and they come for healing. So he gets up with his daughter and he stands there, and I come up to him. I said, through the Polish, and I said, are you saved? No. I said, Pastor, yeah, get him saved. You know, it's like, carry on, let's pray for the others. Come back to him. Do you trust God for healing? He's your savior. Is he your healer? No, I want to know him as my healer. I said, watch this. I knelt down, laid hands on his legs, took his crutch away, took him for a walk, and just started walking normally. So I said, do you need this? He says, no, I don't. He says, I've been using that thing for too long. You know, I'm tired of it. So then in the middle of everything else, because he's totally unchurched, and I love this, he gets hold of his daughter, puts a walking stick on his shoulder, and he says, cheers, I'm going to lunch. And he walks out of the church. And we're like, hang on, you know. Because the word has power to bring change. And I love the unchurchedness, you know, not that doesn't wait until there's a final benediction. So that was another one. So I don't want to waste time. So let me put my timer on to over here and let's go. So would you turn to Luke 61, please? Shared this with the young folks the other night. I think it was there. Isaiah 61. Yeah, I'm double going. Isaiah 61. Some of you can turn to Luke 4:18 if you like, because it's the same scripture except for one portion of a verse. The King James reads this, because I have the New American Standard, but the King James is very open. Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. If you want the Spirit of God upon you, there better be a because. There better be a because in your life. Some of us want the anointing on us. Oh, God, fill me, give me anointing, give me power. And he says, why? He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because. In other words, I've got a releasing to get the getting. So you want the anointing, with the power of God, there's got to be a giving. Because he's anointed me to. Because and a two. To preach the gospel to the poor, he sent me to heal up the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. So there's two things, captives and prisoners, and everybody's in one of those two places. They're captive probably because what has happened is that they've been living their normal life and they get ambushed, as I call it, or they get pounced on, and they cannot go on because they've been captivated by something in their life, sickness, disease, poverty, things that happen, redundancy, children's problems. And so there's things that happen. You are innocent, but it happens to you. Guess what? That happens through life. Jesus has come to unbind you, to set you free. How? Through preaching the gospel. Let me just say this. There is no such ministry, specific ministry, called deliverance. Deliverance happens when you preach the gospel. Got it? So if you want to deliver people, you just preach the gospel. No one comes up and says, well, I've got a ministry of deliverance. And I say to them, fantastic, you're preaching the gospel. And they get that puzzled look on their face. I think you got it. So here we go. So it says, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Well, if you're in prison, that means you're caught, you're wrong, you're doing the wrong thing. I'm not talking about adultery, but you're in sin, you're in unbelief. Because you're in prison, you're judged, condemned, sentenced, and the wrath of God's going to come upon you. And quite honestly, if you don't change, if you don't believe what they tell you when you're in that place of prison, the doors won't open and you won't walk into freedom. And what it is the gospel is sent to those that are in unbelief to take them out of the prison of unbelief, to set them free so that they don't go to hell, they go to heaven. Because at the end of the age, there's one of two places we go, hell or heaven. And most people don't like the hell word, but it's true. You've got to face the fact. There's no daisy land in between the two. It's that. So this message becomes real when we understand that. Our job is to let people know that there's a better way than where they're at. And so we come to preach, to set the captives free, and to open the prison to them that are bound in prison. Let me say this in the brief definition. What is sin? Sin to me is simply unbelief in the Word of God. Because who started it? The Garden of Eden phenomena. God gave instructions. Satan pitches up. Did God say that? Adam and Eve scratched their heads. They weren't sure. They were led astray. They went into unbelief. So ever since then, there's been madness on the earth. Chaos. And every person born is born into that realm of unbelief. And so the truth has got to come back. The truth sets you free. The truth is the believing in the Word of God. So coming back into faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. The Word of God has a voice inside it. It has power contained in it. It is not just something that we listen to. That's TV, radio, and everything else you listen to. But when you can listen to the Word of God, it has cataclysmic, supernatural, precipitating power in your life when you believe it, when it's in your heart. So when the Word of God gets into your heart, you change. See, God created the world with His mouth. He didn't do it with his pinky. He said it happened. So faith is you say it happens. Yes. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, yeah, because your heart and your mouth are connected, that Jesus Christ the Lord, you're saved. And if you say it with your mouth, you have deliverance, you're righteous, you stand right before him. So that's coming back to faith. It's the sinner's prayer, it's that. Basic 101 Christianity. Opening the prison of the blind. So let's go to Luke. Luke is a little different. Everything of the above, he preached deliverance to the captives. Notice that. He preached what to the captives? Deliverance. Recovery of sight to the blind replaces the opening of the prison to them that are bound. You just flip back and forth, and the King James Version is the most clear. Luke 4:18. And so when you look at Luke there, it says the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Luke says the recovery of sight to the blind. So those that are bound and in prison are compared to those who have no sight, they're blind. So what Jesus did, he came preaching this gospel of opening the sight to the blind. 2 Corinthians 4:4 gives a definition of why, and that's right into Corinthians. And even if the gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In whose case, those that are perishing, those who are veiled, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. There's perfect word parallels in the Gospels that link up into the carriage of the supernatural power that wants to pull humanity out of darkness into light. And it comes by this gospel message. So Luke 4:18, let's just look at that. To release the captives. So how does Jesus release the captives? Brilliant. Let's just open the scripture and find that in John 5:5-6. Because Jesus went about healing all those who are oppressed of the devil. He went about doing good. God was with him in the Holy Spirit and in power, healing all who are oppressed of the devil. Oppression, keeping you locked up, keeping you in the place of not being in the potential of what you should be. And so when you preach this gospel, it sets the captives free. The truth sets you free. And so preaching this message around, and possibly the job an evangelist, work with an evangelist does, he brings the experience of God's power to the church so the church can express that power to the community. So revival within, revolution without. That's one of the jobs in evangelists, and I'm very aware of that, and that's what people call me, so that's my job, that's his instruction. I stay in that government level, and guess what? Stuff happens. So I'm trusting that we go home this evening, and you just say, hey man, I've just seen the gospel a whole different way. I know exactly how to minister to the people around us. Because one of the big things in between the go into all the world and preach the gospel and this, there's this boom, so preach, what do I say? Is that right? How do I do it? This is how he does it. He does it. So John chapter 5. And I just want to skip through this, taking for a fact that you do know the truth, the word of God. Have I got the right scripture here? John. Gosh, what is happening now? John, am I in John? I am in John, hey? Okay, it says John 5:1. After these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went to Jerusalem. There was in Jerusalem a sheep gate, a pool, in which, in Hebrew, Bethesda, having five porticos, verandas, whatever. In these lay a multitude, I think that's 1,000, of those who were sick, blind, lame, withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel of the Lord went down in a certain season to the pool, stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after stirring of the water, stepped in, was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. A man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had already been there a long time in that condition. He said to him, "Do you want to get well? Do you wish to get well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, while I'm in another coming down steps in front of me, and I'm just always neglected, and I'm always second, and I never seem to get there. And you know what? Everybody's in front of me." You can carry on with this a little bit, because that's actually what he's saying. He's moaning. He's what? Eeyore. Yeah, right? He's just never says anything positive. But he's been there 38 years. I mean, what a place to be at. Immediately, Jesus said to him, "Get up. Pick up your pallet, bed, and walk." I love those three things. Get up, pick it up, go. And that's actually the message that Jesus has. So let's go back in history. They came to a pool, Bethesda it's called. And why were they there? They were sick, lame, paralyzed. So how could anyone move if they're blind and some are paralyzed? How could they move to get in the water when something happened? Someone's there. Someone can see, but he's paralyzed. Hey, hey, it's happening, it's happening. Where? There's a bit of humor in this. And I know it's not us if you're sick, but you can see what goes on there. You've got to actually be amongst the people. Sit yourself down and look around and imagine the pool over there. And this guy's been there 38 years. I mean, he is a historian of the whole scene. He's probably lecturing everybody else around how it doesn't work because he's never got it. So he's like a friend of Thomas. I doubt if that'll happen. And you know what? It's a culture that develops and spreads because everyone in there is not going to get what they're looking for. Why? Here's why. There's 400 years of silence of any prophetic utterance into the church. 400 years, John the Baptist comes. Hey, there's a way. He's going to come. Everyone gets excited and rushes to John the Baptist. These guys haven't got there yet. They haven't heard this. 400 years of no prophetic word. How was it like being a preacher? Hi, everybody. We gathered here today. It's the same way as we did last Saturday, Sunday. And I just think we've got some help today because it's been 300 years, 400 years, five, whatever, since we heard a prophet come to town with some new revelation that God is really moving. And I hope the message, and it just goes on and on. Guess what? You end up inventing little pathways around to try and make your service exciting. You do little add-ons. You actually bring a drum set into the church because no one else is doing it. I'm going to do this. We're going to upbeat this thing. And seriously, that's what church history is like. Why? Because of no revelation. That's why when Jesus came, he shook the hell out of the place and brought heaven in. Amen. Absolutely. And so here we, can you see what the situation is like? 38 years. He's resigned. Pension fund, nothing. Jesus hears about this, and so he comes up and he says, do you want to be made whole? And it's amazing how Jesus questions someone who's sick. He says to Bartimaeus, standing in front of him, blind, Mark 10, he says, what do you want me to do for you? you know, Peter, he's blind. Yeah, I know he's blind. That's not a problem. It's not even the issue. What else would he like? Because all things are possible to him who believes, not just blindness and healing. There's everything. You see, we've got to upscale our thinking about who Jesus is and what he does with us. And so Jesus, do you want to get made whole? And he knows that, you know what he said. And what does Jesus do? He said, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. No, he says, get up. I mean, how's that? We've been sick how long? 38 years? What's the message to you tonight? Get up. You're so offensive. No, I'm just doing what Jesus does. Get up. Pick up your mat. In other words, your problem that's held you there for that long, deal with it. No, that's not the church's problem, but the ushers or the elders. No, you deal with a problem. And you know what? I've been injured. I've been bullets through me, landmines, blind eyes, broken bones, and all kinds of stuff out there. Stuff happened. Went to Dubai. Kelly's saying what? Went to Dubai with a broken foot. What's the problem? I go there and I'm limping. I get pushed chair to the airplane. Nearly missed the thing because the guys were late. Get on the thing and I'm hobbling around preaching, saying God heals. Absolutely. Pick up your mat. Own it. It's going to deal with it. It's not going to stop you. Just gives you more energy to go on. More, right? But we trained and told, no, if you're hurting, shut down. No, you don't shut down. Jesus says, get up. I've labored that enough. And so you walk out with a mat. You know, that very thing that has defined your life for 38 years, you need to deal with it. You need to pick it up and say, dustbin, here this thing comes. Sometimes we say, no, I don't know what's done. Can you deal with this? I don't have any part with this because you church are supposed to deal this for me. I'm laity, you're clergy, you deal with this. No, Jesus doesn't do it that way. He says, I want you to deal with it because extreme ownership gets you places. Very good. And so you walk through the thing. My daddy taught me. When I was young, having been a Dartmouth naval officer, Second World War, sunk in two ships, etc. So guess how we were raised? Son, your slippers are put together at the foot of your bed. Your dressing gown is hung up, right? Yes, Dad. Almost saluted him. You then get on your knees and you pray, and you get down next to me. That's how you raised us. When you get up in the morning, you will make your bed. It needs to be clean. I'm going to come and look. And the curtains? No ruffles? Straight. And so he said, so you hurt your finger? Yeah. It's okay. It'll get better. Carry on. It wasn't a shame. Please, you can sit down for 2 weeks, you know, and just nurse this little thing, walk around carrying it and say, oh, shame. And he says, get over it. So I understand the scripture. And you know what? The church needs to come back into the realm of faith, not feeling, suffering, realm of faith. Are you okay? Some of you are just looking at me like, what the heck? verse 9. Now it was the Sabbath on that day. So the Jews were saying to the man who was cured, it's the Sabbath, and it is not permissible for you to carry your bed. But he answered, he who made me well was the one who said to me, pick it up and walk. In other words, the one who told me and got me healed has got more authority in you. And I'd rather obey him than what you've been telling me all this time. Because I don't care if it's the Sabbath, I'm going to get out of here. So I'm not worried, I'm not concerned about the fact that if it's the right day and the right season and the right law. In other words, church order had overtaken the supernatural power of God. They'd quenched the supernatural because of the day. When law overtakes and overrules the freedom of what God has for humanity, you're in a very dangerous place. Get off that mat and begin to move. So what did Jesus do? He did that. Release to the captives. He was captivated by a system. He walked in, changed the system. Set the man free. Release to the captives. Heal the brokenhearted. Matthew 15. Story, I love this. It's a long one and a deep one. It's a story of the Canaanite woman or the Syrophoenician woman who was not a Jew. And Jesus went away from there. Matthew 15, 21. And withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. I love what she said. She's a Canaanite, not a Jew. She had no right to say, have mercy on me, Lord, because she was not of the household of faith. He was sent to the house of Israel, not to the Gentiles. So she was saying something that was not right at the time. But she caught in desperation a cliche, a charismatic cliche. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. All that kind of stuff. She was saying that because she was going to try and get in on the bandwagon and ride that train to get the blessing of where it's going to. You know how desperate some people are. But she said, my daughter is cruelly possessed. In other words, it's not about me, it's about my kids. I'm desperate. But he did not even answer her a word. That's why he didn't recognize her call. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, send her away because she keeps shouting at us. Now, how's that for a deflection of your prayers? Lord, please come and do this. Lord, are you there? And then someone says, shh. You're making a noise. I mean, it's like everything to get you away from what you're looking for. And that happens. Why? Because we'll tell you why just now. But because he answered and said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay. But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, Lord, help me. Now, there we go. Perfect position in front of him on her knees. In other words, she got rid of every bit of protocol and churchianity of trying to get a blessing from God, religion out the window. This thing doesn't work. I'm going to get everywhere I know I should be, and that is, boo, Lord. That word Lord means I'm under your full submission. It means commander, master. It's like Peter said in the boat, Lord, master, nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the nets. In other words, hey, Lord, I submit fully to what you say. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know it's you who said that. Therefore, whatever happens is going to be you, not me. I'm going to do what you tell me. In other words, I'm getting out of the way so that you can do and reveal your glory. She did the same thing, Lord. As Kelly has a message, she says, many times we call Jesus, Jesus, but not Lord Jesus. Our Christianity's got to one level, just Jesus. But actually, when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a whole different submission. Lord, help me. And he answered and said to her, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Now, again, there's another deflection. It's not good to take. See, the children, healing is the children's bread. So how often do children get fed a day? You can be healed 3 times a day. 3 opportunities a day, according to the scripture. So it doesn't wait for Sunday. It can happen when you believe. In other words, when you take the revelation of that word. Man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from his mouth. In other words, when the word comes from his mouth, it's a revealing power to you that sets you free. And she said, dogs? But she said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And she was saying, yeah, I'm happy to be a dog. In fact, the words are there, I'm happy to be a puppy, a little dog. because I'm taking my share. I'm happy to be the little dog under your table. And it's the master's table, so it's no one else's table in any house. It's your house and your crumbs. I'm under your table, master. And I'm a puppy. Why? Because I'm getting the rights for my child. And what does he say? It says, "O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed. Boom, right there. What is this about? How many crumbs does it take to cast a demon out of someone? Loaves of bread? No, it just takes a crumb. So it just takes a crumb to cast a demon out. Simply get out. And that's the power of what she learned. That's why he said, "Woman, you're of great faith. You're happy to take a crumb, and you know what that crumb can do for your daughter? That's good," because most people are looking for everything else. They're looking for a feast to get what they want. The brokenhearted, what was he doing? He was reeling her in. That's why he did not call her. He did not talk to her. What was he doing? He was bringing it to his feet. He wants all of us, regardless of what the condition is, he wants us at his feet. He knows your broken heart because it's a brokenhearted. She was brokenhearted. He healed her heart first and then her child. Yeah. See, God's more interested in you than what's wrong with you. He wants you at his feet to touch. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to do these things, he said. And so when we talk and we pray for people and some people in those kind of conditions, you know what the most powerful thing is you bring them to the one who has eternal life. And when you have eternal life, he'll give you life for this life. Because he does it. Now, some of you being healed, that's an emotional soul thing where your hearts are sick because of stuff that's happened. I'm telling you right now, he's ministering to you. Just that crumb that I shared with you is enough to heal you. You'll go home and say, "I'm adjusted. He's my Lord. I'm not taking this any longer." Some of you may have been on mats long enough, on pills, chronic medication long enough and said, "That is enough." It's time for you to just take them and deal with it. And guess what? You're set free because he is the one who sets you free. This is the magnificent gospel. He opens the eyes that you may come out of prison, because when you see truth, that truth in your heart liberates your heart and liberates you. It's called the gospel. Recovery of sight to the blind. Mark 8:22. Then there's one more. Mark 8:22. I love this scripture because it's perfect teaching. So you got a Bethesda, now you got the Bethsaida. So there are a lot of Beths around the place. And you can start spraying those in the front row here. Bethsaida. And they brought a blind man to Jesus and begged him to touch him. You see, people know how Jesus heals. They brought a blind man. "Hey, Lord, you can do this." They hadn't heard that they could do this. So they brought them to him and he said, "Lord, touch him." Notice it's touch. And as we shared, the laying on of hands is powerful. So taking the blind man by the hand, he brought him out of the village. And after spitting on his eyes and laying his hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" Now, we're not going to do any of that. You don't have to spit on people's eyes. Only, I've never done it. I only know one other person who's done it. And actually, the person got healed because it was under divine instruction. Brought him out of the village. Just pause on verse 23. It's massive. You've seen blind people. Maybe you know someone. What's their life like? How big is their world? Their world is as big as they want to make it, and it's normally measured by sound, steps, direction, feeding of the sun, opening of doors. In other words, they know 5 steps, touch door, open. 2 steps down across the street, beep, 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 you know those things. So the whole world is actually very small. So what does Jesus do? He says, "I'm going to take you outside of where you've been. I'm setting the prisoner free. I want to open your eyes. Take you out of the village of unbelief and take you into the arena of life." Grabs him by the hand and he's course, when you imagine if I was blind and I was holding Jesus' hand, I'd say, "Where are we going? Where are we going?" He'd say, "Just follow me. Just follow me. Just listen to my voice. I'll tell you every step of the way. We're walking with God. Okay, we're going down the stairs. 1, 2, okay? We're going to walk down the street. It's about 50 meters. It's about 20 steps or whatever. follow me. Just stay close. I've got your hand. My hand's in his hand. He's close to you. You're listening to him. Every breath you hear, he's taking you there. You become oblivious to the sound around you. You're so concerned on the sound of his voice. Exactly. That's how Jesus heals. Recovery of sight. Takes him into a forest. He's right out of town. The village is down there. He's into a forest. He does this thing that he says here, spits on him. Do you see anything? I love Jesus. You know, praying for the sick, you need to say, what has happened? Do you see anything? And of course he comes back, well, I see men like trees walking. And so he says, oh gosh, you man of unbelief. He doesn't say that. He says, okay, let me do it again. You see, Jesus did it twice because he's got great compassion. And for us responding, if we're sick, we don't get healed the first time, come back. Come back again. Don't quit and say, that guy, that church, that whatever. No, it's just come back. Because if Jesus prayed twice and he tells us if he does it once, we to do it 70 times. That's quite a few times. That's why some of us are bald. It's because of... So he does. He does it again. And then he looked up. The Bible says, first time he prayed, he kept his head down and he kind of lifted his eyes slightly and he said, well, I just see trees. In other words, he didn't really look. He wasn't really engaged. Jesus said, that's okay. Let's just do this again. He didn't spit on him twice. He just laid his hands on him and then he looked up and he got perfect sight, set free because he looked up. And I think what it is like Bartimaeus, when he opened his eyes, he saw the face of Jesus. When this man looked up, he saw the Lord. Who else do you need to see? Once you see Jesus, you're set free. You see clearly him who he is. Verse 26, and he sent him to his home, saying, do not even enter the village. But Jesus, I'm to go home, but my home's in the village. Yeah, I know. You can go home, but don't go to the village. Lord, I don't get this. How do I go home when I can't go to the village? My home's in the village. Good question. What is he saying there? You can go to the village, but you don't see. You can go home, but you don't see the village as what it used to be. You've got a whole new view of your community. You've got a whole new respect of who's around you. You don't go there and you don't behave blind. You don't go back to 101. You don't go in reverse gear. You go back to that village and you chuck your cane away. You take everything off that protection, whatever's, and you begin to walk around with a vision. You actually go back there with a different vision of your village and your people. And you know what? That's opening the eyes. That's setting people free. That is recovery of sight, recovery of vision. The church needs a recovery of vision to the community. We need to go home tonight. They're totally different. Saying, I'm seeing Liverpool, wherever you're from, different. I actually see my home different and my neighbor different. They're hanging outside, sun and tanning themselves like a scarecrow. I mean, they're there. We hide when the sun comes out. Our solar panels are fully charged, okay? So we get with our neighbor because do you see your village differently? And that's what Jesus does. He wants us. Every time we have an encounter with him, we are totally changed. And that needs to be heard and expressed by this person going home. Liberty of the oppressed. That is the fourth one, to set liberty those who are oppressed or in prison. So we go to Luke 13:10. Okay. And he was teaching one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. I love the way Jesus picks on synagogues. And Sabbaths, yeah, especially the Sabbaths. Do a study in the Word, the Gospels, Sabbaths, Jesus, and find out how many times it is in the Sabbaths. And the response of those guys in the Sabbaths, those leaders, oh, you can't do this. It's not supposed to happen on the Sabbath. You know why? What has happened is they've put divine healing away from the Sabbath, which is worship. And they say divine healing is no longer worship, it's work. So you don't do this on the Sabbath. So you go and do it during the week and you earn money for it. He says, no, I want to bring this back because healing is part of worship. That's why he had a reaction, not a response. There was a woman who for 18 years had had a sickness caused by a spirit, small s, and she was bent double and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your sickness." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made erect and began glorifying God. Let me give you six quick points here about healing. Number one, when Jesus saw her, we need to see people the way Jesus sees them. I don't know about you, but when I first was young in the ministry, I'd see a wheelchair come and I'd pretend I was very busy over here. Why? Because I was challenged by that. Why? Because I was intimidated by that. Because you're a pastor, you're a leader, and you're supposed to go over and see the sick healed. Now, because I've seen it a few times, I'm actually attracted. I walk over and introduce myself. The person in the chair doesn't even know you're the preacher. So you built a bridge straight away. Hallelujah, bridge, because there's instant communication at another level. And I see her the way Jesus. I am called over by Jesus to her. That's point number one, is that when Jesus saw her, we need to see people the way Jesus sees them. And he called her over. That's number two. It needs to be a response from the one to come to him. How do you do that? You just talk to them about Jesus. You bring them the word. So they respond positively to the word. The word is Jesus. But it comes through you. So you tell them about Jesus. Hey, you know what? I was last week in a church in Poland. A tumor remained removed from the back of the head. Metal plate put in. The tumor and part of the brain removed. And that means you're basically blind. But you know what? So tumor put back, hair and skin pasted over, bound in a wheelchair for I don't know how long. This girl gets up and walks, shook a whole town, got onto TV, went over there, came over into Holland, and someone in Holland told me, hey, you know what? There was a great healing in Poland. This girl was in a wheelchair, and this guy from somewhere came over and prayed for her and laid hands on her, and she got up and walked. It was on TV. And I said, really? Fantastic. Praise God. And you just don't own it. See, the impact of one shakes everything. So he called her over. Do you want to be made whole? What do you want me to do for you? Do you believe I'm able to do this? Those are the questions Jesus asks. And so when Kenny and I know others do, when they pray for the sick, we don't say, what's wrong with you? We say, what do you want God to do for you? Because as soon as you say what's wrong for you, you're on the negative. But when you say what you want God to do for you, you're on the positive because you're in faith straight away. So he calls her over, respond to Jesus. What do you want God to do for you? Responding to Jesus. He called her over and he said to her, see, healing comes by declaration. First, woman, you are freed from your sickness. He didn't say demon. He didn't say cancer. He didn't say tumor or some heck of a long, long, long medical term. You know what? He just calls everything sickness. Cold and a flu, achoo, achoo, that's a sickness. But when you start getting tumors in the brain, he still calls it sickness. And he says, you're freed from the sickness. And then he laid his hands on her, number four. So the laying hands of the sick and the declaration of God's power upon a person causes a change. And immediately, number five, she was made erect. In other words, this demon holding a double fled because of the power of God's presence. And number six, she began glorifying God, not the man, not the church, not the denomination, glorifying God. So it's good to bring people to glorify God. That's a normal, natural response. Verse 14, but the synagogue official, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, began saying to the crowd in response, there are 6 days in which work should be done. So come during them and get healed and not on the Sabbath. But the Lord answered him and said, you hypocrites, does not each one of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him to the water him? And this woman, a daughter of Abraham, as she is, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, should she not have been released from the bond, this bond on the Sabbath, untied, set liberty those who are pressed, bent over by the devil? Ought not this woman? So you're saying to her, hey, you guys, I know what you do during lunch hour. Siesta time, you think everyone goes and sleeps. But you go around the back, you get your donkey and you take it down to water and you go back and you take your ox down. And you're watering, that's work, isn't it? Yeah. And you're doing this when no one, you think no one's seeing. But we know. We know it happens. And you know what? What's worse is that you guys put your animals above the value of humans. Above humanity. Religion, see, is such a trap. Can oppress people. daughter of Abraham. Yeah. Absolute faith. Faith came before the law. He's a father of faith. And by faith you receive. She's a daughter of Abraham. It's her right to receive that. And so when this happened, he said this, all his opponents were being humiliated, and the entire crowd was rejoicing over the glorious things being done by him. The crowd rejoiced because people could see that there were some that were being set free. And so when you read these Luke 4:18, there's each one of those verses, set the oppressed free, open the blind eyes. There's an example of what Jesus did. And so we see Jesus not just giving a bold statement. He actually summarizes his whole ministry in those couple of verses so that we know that he is still doing it today. He wants us to do it through the local church. Preaching this message. Spirit of the Lord's upon you because go do. Do this thing and you'll find that people are set free. You see, when you lay hands on the sick, the Bible tells us they shall recover. Kelly says this, when Moses lifted the rod, the Red Sea parted. He didn't part the Red Sea. All he did was lifted the rod. So when you lift up the word of God, God is able to do stuff. So it's not by your might or your power, it's by his might and his power according to the word of God. And all that is there is showing us how Jesus does this and delivers people, sets them free. Mark 16:20 is a wonderful scripture. It says in the disciples, summary of the Great Commission. You know, Matthew is the actual way you do it. Mark is how you do it. As they went out and preached the word everywhere, God confirmed the word with signs following. Trouble is, we sometimes read that and you think, no, God, you've got to confirm me that I'm anointed to do this and I'm, you know, the man of power for the hour. He says, no, it's good. You just say what I say. And when you say and represent me the way I want to be, then I can do and be who I want to be to those people. In other words, healing. Because signs and wonders followed the word. So the most important thing is being sure you know the word of God. That's why I think for Kelly and I are so into the word. So you're a word man, no? Word and spirit. Because where the word is, the spirit hovers. He hovers until that person says, I've got it. Boom! Just like Mary. Be it done to me. I don't quite get it, but be it done to me as you say. Wham! Creative healing power comes. For every word preached, there's a corresponding response. And he confirmed the word with signs following. So what word brings those signs? When you evangelize, what do you want to see happen on the streets? Healing? Preach healing. Salvation? Preach salvation. Preach love? You'll find love. Preach mercy? You'll get mercy. So each word has a corresponding reaction or response that brings liberty to people. That's why I said tonight, when I share this, there is healing happening right on your chairs. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, having a shower. Wow, I didn't know I could do this. Look, I can... Guess what? It happens. They shall recover. Amen. So let's pray for some people specifically tonight. So Lord, I thank you that tonight as we've shared your word, the gospel, the power, those two scriptures, what you prophesied in Isaiah and what you declared when you stood up in that first temple and you told everybody who you were and what was going to happen. Lord, you've given that to the church. That's us today. And we're here in Liverpool. And Lord, from Liverpool outwards and beyond, that this is continuing to happen because you said you're the same. You've never changed. And Lord, we don't want you to change tonight. We want you to do the same as you did then. And that is, Lord, we want to see people more committed to your word. And Lord, just to touch people's hearts right now, deep in their soul, healing the brokenhearted, the hopelessness, just touching deep down and things that are hidden and secret in men and women's lives that we've never seen come to the surface again because we just don't trust what there is there, but we can trust you, Lord. Trust you that you can change it because you are our creator. You're the one who's done it all. So, Lord, it's not about man. Let man and flesh subside. Let your power and anointing and glory rise in this room right now in every person. Let your anointing overshadow this word so that there's a supernatural connection between the two, where the precipitation of truth manifests in a sign and a wonder in the flesh, in the soul, in our human spirits, causing change permanently in our lives. It's called the economy of the kingdom. Let it be so. So every disease and sickness in this room, I address you under the name of Jesus, by his authority, as he's told us and commanded us to. Your power is broken. You're illegal in this room. Because where heaven is, sickness is illegal. And where your presence is, sickness cannot stand. Amen. And so, Lord, we declare your presence into every single person in this room. Every breath we breathe is your presence coming in. And we exhale what's not of you. And God, we just trust right now that every form of cancer, every nodule, every terrifying thing that is defined by medicine, we just want to declare you right now, the root of truth. The root is severed by the axe of truth. And where there's no root, there can be no fruit or symptoms of pain, suffering. The withering of the leaves on the fig tree is an indication of the lack of power in that fig tree to survive. And so we declare that the symptoms of pain will wither and defy and cease because there is no power or reason for it to be. And I pray that our bodies adjust to this new life, this new freedom, this new ability. Touch us, our Lord, we pray. We simply say this, we evict sickness from our bodies, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Sickness, you are evicted, you're illegal, you're terminated. Go from us. Holy Spirit, rule and reign. And so we have done what we've done. We have declared healing. Now let's lay hands on the sick according to the word. We'll do simply what the word says. So if you have and you have something...